Pop Spotting 185.
Friday, December 23rd, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday, and we're glad to have more of your thoughts to share. We'll get to some TV talk in a bit, but first, looking back and ahead, we'll start with our take on the Swedish film adaptation of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Aloha, Ryan and Jen. It is Pete calling from Rockford, Illinois. I'm just sitting down at work here and getting your latest podcast in which you discussed the Swedish version of the film, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I'm probably 5-6 minutes in, and I just need to share with you one little correction. Something that I keep hearing you say is that the journalist Mikael Nyqvist is being portrayed by Mikael Blomqvist. You actually have those names backwards. The character is Mikael Blomqvist, and the actor is Mikael Nyqvist. Also, the description you gave, Ryan, of the character of Lisbeth Salander, I know you haven't read any of the books in the Millennium Trilogy, but that's a perfect description of the way the character is presented in the books. That's all I have for you today. Mahalo nui loa, I believe I pronounced that correctly, for all your work on the podcast, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Mahalo for your call, Pete. You pronounced that correctly, and mahalo for the correction. Definitely well-deserved. I just had that reversed the entire time in my brain. I don't know. It's all those Swedish names. They get scrambled.
Pop Spotting regrets the error.
Yes, we do. And also, Sasha, a con artist on Twitter, pointed out my same mistake, as did Tim on Facebook. I love that everybody is keeping us honest. I'm glad to hear, though, that at least my interpretation of the Swedish film's depiction of Lisbeth is accurate to the book. We are going to talk about next week, I hope, the David Fincher version of the film, but we had more feedback from Mark in Canada.
He writes, on Facebook, the novels are much better. They go into much more detail. I listened to the books from Audible, but the other two movies from the Millennium series are great, and I really enjoyed the third one. I like the intrigue that is woven throughout, especially in the trial and to the eventual outcome of that trial. It was a very satisfying ending to the book and to the series.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to watch the other two Swedish films.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And well before David Fincher catches up with the American side. And I've heard the Audible books are pretty good, but the novels themselves, yes, the books are always better as far as movies are concerned. You weren't particularly interested in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or the Millennium series. Are they yet on your to-do list?
They are. It's among a giant pile of books underneath my desk that I have to get to, and I am on the last book in the Harry Potter series, so I will get to it. I will.
All right. Well, listen for that in an upcoming book podcast. Willie in Mississippi chimed in and said, I was disappointed that they left out the Eric-Michael relationship in the movie. I guess that's Erica, yeah. Mikhail relationship in the movie. My mistake. They did introduce some characters and information that you don't find out until the second book. So, we'd have to read the book to know what that is. I guess there is kind of this epilogue of after the mystery in the movie,
right,
that I guess might be what's sort of added on there. And as far as Erica, we had mentioned in our podcast that they cast Robin Right for the Fincher version.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure she's not going to be quite as off to the side as she is, at least in the Swedish version. Let's hear from Claudia.
She writes on Facebook, I love the books and can't wait for Fincher's version.
And you're not alone. And as we said, we're going to go catch that, and we're going to talk about that on Monday's podcast. We're also glad to hear that our little Flick Chart Face Off podcast went well. That's where we matched up movies and sort of rated them against each other. Barry wrote on Facebook, thank you so much for suggesting this as a time waster, he said with the irony dripping from his mouth, as I've spent about 3 hours doing it with 1,091 ratings and over 410 movies on my chart. I'm addicted. Are you going to offer a Flick Chart support group? So certainly you're not alone. A lot of people are checking in with the same reaction there.
Carrie in California, aka Ray62 on Twitter, writes on the blog, I love Flick Chart, but it's so addictive. I find that if I start, I better have plenty of time or I'll miss all of my appointments.
Well, there you go, Barry, another member of the support group, perhaps. And as far as the movies that we matched up, we were kind of curious how people would take the choices that we made. Faith in Tennessee said, I have to agree, Toy Story and The Princess Bride win every time. In fact, I get a little bothered by the idea of them coming up against each other at all on Flick Chart.
They have.
Yes, and you know, that's the beauty of it. The horrible beauty of Flick Chart is that you have to choose between movies you love. I think the classic one, the one that I was really worried or wondering was going to come up, of course, is Ghostbusters versus Back to the Future. Mm. Do you have a solid immediate answer to that matchup?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I have an affection for both, and I think I like them for different reasons, but Ghostbusters wins. But you can see examples of how really hard some of those choices can be.
Jimmy in Georgia writes, you should see V for Vendetta. I think it's a great movie with some interesting looks at a dystopia near future and how people react.
So we did ask if we should see it. Again, I know some people that thought it was just a complete and total disaster, but 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, that's a higher score than some movies we like.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like that here, you know, the special effects, the visuals are very nice, and that it has a very distinct political statement to make, whether or not you would agree with it. And I certainly kind of want to encourage that in filmmaking. And finally, in reaction to our Flick Chart conversation and some of the decisions that we made, Pete in the UK observed on Facebook, you're not really fans of Jim Carrey, are you?
I'm not a non-Jim Carrey fan. I don't like his comedic work, but I do think he's brilliant in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I think it's one of his, well, it is one of his best performances of all time, and
exactly.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were coming up with a lot of his comedies, and I'm not even saying that they're awful, but you put some of those comedies against any drama, I think that we might be biased against it. That I would say that is a bias, but his serious work, Eternal Sunshine, is great. I even liked him in The Truman Show.
Oh, I forgot about that performance.
He's done some serious work. Actually, he's done some bad serious work, but I think he's done some good serious work. So no, we're not Jim Carrey haters, just maybe not really crazy about the films that happen to come up in the mix. Let's change the conversation. Let's change the channel and talk about television, where many of you commented on our review of the season finale of The Walking Dead.
This is Al. I'm calling a reaction to The Walking Dead postings and most recent show you guys posted on this past Tuesday. In many respects, I agree. There's a dramatic issue in regards to how long we've been held in this position and kind of just holding back from the action. but I do think there's probably a certain actual parallel to Lost. To me, this is very similar to where the writers' strike was, where we ended up in the cages because they didn't know what to do. Because there was a transition in that particular case, they didn't know when they'd be coming back and so forth. In this case, with The Walking Dead, the loss of Frank Darabont, in my opinion, may have brought on this situation where they kind of put a holding pattern until they decided where they were going to go next. I also thought that some of these issues were interesting, bringing to a head some of the interpersonal issues in amongst the group, especially between the leader and his wife, getting Shane to be cranked up to where he's obviously seen as an issue for the entire party. But as everyone has said, 6 or 7 episodes to get those kind of things done kind of drew it out a little bit. But I, just like Lost, once they got their bearings back again, I think they were will be ready to go forward and see what happens. And from an actual standpoint of what I would do, as an individual in these situations, if I found a place where there weren't walkers attacking regularly, I'd hang there until I was kicked out. Oh, well, I guess that's me. Bye.
Thanks for your call. Yeah, I agree. I think most shows go through periods where it's more slow than others.
Well, but the thing is, I can see for sure that every show, even a great show, might not have the strongest or fastest pace season. They might have an off season, a weak season, and Lost did have the writer's strike and stuck in cages and they don't know where to go, but there wasn't a writer's strike here. I mean, we do have the issue with Darabont leaving, even though Mazzara says that he's executing the vision that was in place before season 2 was started. But the most important thing, I think, is that they do have a direction. They have the graphic novels. They have a fully played out plot line and a future direction. They know where they could go. So they're making conscious decisions as far as the pacing, how long they're going to spend in a specific place or on a specific plot point. I just think that they weren't being as aggressive as they could be. And again, I'm just mostly hopeful that they pick it up next season. I do agree. If I found a peaceful farmhouse and I was able to get rid of all of the zombies in the barn, I'd probably stay there. But it wouldn't make for very interesting television. We've got another call now from Ren Mike D.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. It's Ren Mike / Ren Mike D on the Twitter. I just wanted to give a quick few thoughts about The Walking Dead. I almost completely agree with Ryan and with Jen also on it that season two was really slow and meandering at times. It just didn't seem to go anywhere. There were some great moments with it. I loved the Daryl storyline. I really liked the Shane Otis thing that happened at school. But the barn thing, the barn reveal with Sophia in it really just didn't do anything for me. Sophia was never a character on the show. I mean, she was there, but she was just background. She was just like wallpaper in a room. They never developed her into any kind of character to make you care about her before she disappeared. And she was gone so long that there was absolutely no emotional attachment to the character whatsoever. So when she came out of the barn, it really had no emotional impact whatsoever to me. As far as Frank Darabont leaving, to me, the worst part of the series was the CDC at the end of season one. And this season hasn't been that great either. So if Frank Darabont was a part of those decisions, I don't think it's that big of a deal if he leaves. I know he has an incredible reputation in movies, and I'm not taking that away from him, but I don't know if he's made all the right choices for The Walking Dead. So I'm interested to see where it goes from here. I really wish they would leave the farm really quite soon after starting up the next half. We can't take another half a season where they just wander around the farm. And hopefully it'll kind of pick up the pace from here. There's so many pivotal events that happen in the comic that we just haven't seen enough of in the show. Events that are incredibly shocking and that make the characters real and put them in insane situations. And there just hasn't been enough of that in the TV show. And so that's my thoughts on that. So thanks for the show, guys. Take care. Bye.
Mahalo for your call, and I don't know if we have too much to add to everything you had to say.
No, I agree, and I especially agree that we really didn't get to know Sophia. I think if we had had a little bit more time with her before she was taken, I think that scene would have had a lot more emotional impact.
Yeah, you know, I just assumed that there was sort of gravity there. Maybe as parents, you just sort of get extra points for being a kid in peril. That's they always pull those heartstrings on other shows and movies. But excellent point, and yes, you know, Darabont was great on movies. Maybe he was struggling a little bit in television. We'll see. I think for sure this second half of season two is going to be pivotal in terms of seeing if they've got anything more there. And to close us out on The Walking Dead, a comment from DB on the blog.
DB writes, "Your Walking Dead review was spot on. Extremely lame season where you start to despise most of the characters rather than root for them.
There you go.
I found the finale much better than the rest of the season, but the bar was set extremely low. The strung-out search for a little girl that we never really got to know fell flat, and the big reveal came across as more of a relief than a surprise and was not nearly as shocking as the girl in the premiere."
And, you know, I wanted to include this comment because I forgot, you know, the entire show, the series premiere opens with the cops shooting a little girl at a gas station.
Oh, that's
right. So they even used that shocking moment before. So, yeah, I think so far we're in agreement. I'm surprised that nobody shouted us down. Basically a high point for a pretty low season or first half season. We're just going to have to wait to see what we get next year. Now let's get some recommendations on new shows we should check out.
Hey, Ron and Jen, this is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, calling in. I've got some law enforcement TV update for the podcast. Justified, the new season starts out in January 17th. Looks like it's going to be an interesting season. I'm looking forward to watching this one live. Thanks to y'all's recommendations and some from friends, I bought season one on DVD and bought season two off of Amazon and enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to watching this one live. Another one coming out, they haven't set a release date. They've just said, you know, 2012. Hopefully it'll be the spring or early winter. Is Longmire, I guess as how, or Longmire, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but it's based on the novel series of this sheriff out in Wyoming, and it stars some familiar faces. Stars Katie Sekulow from Battlestar Galactica, Lou Diamond Phillips from Stargate Universe. It also stars Cassidy Freeman from Smallville, so some faves there. And it looks like it's going to be a kind of interesting twist, you know, Western-style law enforcement. So just wanted to share those two things. Longmire is out on A&E, and Justified is out on FX. So thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Always good to hear from you, Jeff. And great recommendations there. Yes, Law Enforcement TV and Justified. We love Justified. It was a recommendation to us here on the podcast, and we did an entire podcast about how much we loved that first season.
FX is rerunning season two, and we're mainlining it.
Yeah, we're catching it up because we got to get ready for season three, which starts on January 17th. Actually, they moved that up a month, I think, because previously Justified started airing in February. You can also just get the DVD for season two coming out on January 3rd. I'm loving it. You've got Jeremy Davies, as we were greatly looking forward to, and he does not disappoint.
He doesn't disappoint, and actually Brad William Henke plays his brother, who he was Bram on Lost.
Right, some connections there. And this season you've also got Margot Martindale, who was
from Dexter.
And Dexter, she is actually stealing the show for me. I mean, even out of Jeremy Davies' hands, mm-hmm. She's great. She's charming and southern and yet very, very scary. And even the young girl, Caitlin Dever, is pretty good.
She's great. She has this maturity that I think goes beyond her years, and
absolutely,
I can't wait to see her, what she does next.
As for Longmire, I had to look it up. They did get picked up for 10 episodes. It does start next year, like Jeff mentioned, but no date yet. I mean, that's how early on we are. But yeah, Katie Sackhoff, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Great cast.
And I think Robert Taylor is actually the star of the show. I mean, the lead Longmire character.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Agent Jones from The Matrix, an Australian actor.
Oh.
So yeah, looks like a certainly a great pick. And let's get another recommendation from Matt right here in Honolulu.
He writes, "Hey, just found previews for the new mid-season show, The Firm. The description says that it's a sequel to the 1993 John Grisham film starring Tom Cruise. It's got Josh Lucas and Trisha Helfer as leads. Looks interesting, though NBC doesn't have a great track record. I'll probably check out the premiere. I'm more excited for Alcatraz and Touch on Fox. I'm already making an unseen commitment to those two shows."
Well, certainly Alcatraz. As far as The Firm, I mean, I keep thinking there can't possibly be room for more legal dramas on television.
No, and he is right about NBC. I'm really kind of getting wary of getting too attached to anything on NBC.
Absolutely, but The Firm series does pick up 10 years after the movie. It's got Juliette Lewis, Molly Parker, so, you know, I mean, certainly something worth checking out. I didn't even know about Touch. Somehow that was completely off my radar, but with the names attached, I think it's also something we should watch for.
It's created by Tim Kring, the guy that gave us Heroes, and
right.
Stars Kiefer Sutherland, which is really great, Danny Glover, and Roxana Brusso.
So some really great actresses and actors turning out on television. You know, Trisha Helfer there for The Firm, and of course we had our friend Katie Sackhoff for Starbuck and Longmire. So, I mean, yeah, familiar faces, definitely going to be watching for them. Another recommendation here from Ian. "Hello, Jen. Hello, Ryan. Ian here from Manhattan, New York City. I write about TV, music, and film over at Matt Zoller's Sites' blog, Press Play. I listen with much enjoyment to your podcast on the subways often, but I haven't heard anything yet about my most beloved new show, Alphas. To quote, well, me, X-Men Schmexmen. Alphas is good, really, really good. It's way better than Buffy and Alias were at this juncture in their TV lives, and these are shows with which Alphas shares stray strands of DNA, but not enough to have a cow over. Anyway, the finale had some seriously jossy, inspirational I aim to misbehaveness, while the whole show has shown a learning curve that's just wow. And all for the cost of the electricity of one Terra Nova crane shot. A small one. Anyway, keep up the fine work. thanks, Ian, for that email. And yes, absolutely, Alphas is on our radar. It was one of the picks from one of our guests. Show number 139 in September, Paul Fox in Hong Kong told us about how great it was as well.
Right.
And we don't have really a good excuse. It's on Sci-Fi. We could have picked it up. I think you can get full episodes online. So yes, we certainly have some homework. I love that he says it's, you know, you can do the whole series for the cost of one Terra Nova crane shot. Excellent point. So actually, it got renewed for a second season as well. So good news for fans of Alphas. We're going to check it out. And you should check out Ian's blog at blogs.indiewire.com/pressplay. Finally, a recommendation on Facebook.
Sherry writes, if you haven't seen Homeland yet, you should check it out. It's really good. It's on Showtime.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason why we haven't checked it out.
Yeah, our cable company is lame.
Well, we're also cheap. But for sure, Homeland is very well regarded. It's something we want to check out, and some really great names attached to it, some great actors in that show.
Claire Danes, mm-hmm. Damian Lewis from Life and Band of Brothers, Marina Baccarin from Firefly, Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, Mandy Patinkin. There he is again. Certainly worth checking out. And the season finale for that first season is this Sunday. Of course, we're going to miss it, but we're going to probably see a lot of tweets about it. There were 12 episodes in season one. We're going to have to wait for the DVD, but it did get renewed for another 12. And this show definitely got a lot of Golden Globe nominations. Best Drama, Best Actor for Damian Lewis, and Best Actress for Claire Danes. So Homeland, if you're a fan, tell us what we've been missing. In fact, do tell us anytime what TV shows, what movies, what music you think that we should check out. It is your feedback, your recommendations that keep our brains spinning and this show going. Whether you agree with what we say about The Walking Dead or musicals or not, we just want to hear from you.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can also post your thoughts on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting, and that's a spot where other listeners can see your comments and start an entire conversation.
And you can also connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
If you like podcasts as much as we do, we know it's sometimes hard to keep up with them all, and syncing files can be a real pain. Fortunately, there's Stitcher Smart Radio, a free app for iPhone, Android, and almost every other smartphone out there, and it lets you easily stream the latest episode of your favorite podcast, including, we hope, Pop Spotting.
We'll be back next week with more pop talk. For now, we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song.
And we want to say thank you very much for listening to our show. And of course, happy holidays,
happy
Merry
Hanukkah.
Christmas, happy Hanukkah. For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jen.
Aloha. Aloha.
Shaka at your computer
because it adds the real earnestness in my voice. If I wave a shaka at the computer screen, even though nobody can see what I'm doing, it's just you feel it.
Okay.
You feel the aloha.
Okay.